Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, June 11th. Thousands of UC academic workers are back in class and research labs this week after a judge ordered a halt on their strike. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. A union representing 6,000 Food for Less workers in San Diego and other parts of Southern California could soon go on strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union is holding a strike authorization vote this week. Workers say Food for Less and Kroger undermine contract negotiations and accuse the company of violating workers' rights to representation. They are demanding higher pay and safety improvements. The results of the strike vote will be announced after voting ends on Friday. Kroger issued a statement saying the company remains committed to negotiating in good faith. It's going to be a hot week throughout the county, but especially in our deserts, where temps are expected to reach nearly 110 degrees. If you need a place to cool down, the county's cool zones are now open. To find a cool zone site and their hours of operation, visit the county's website or call 211. The National Weather Service says in the inland areas, the mornings will be foggy, but the rest of the day will be sunny. Temps in the inland and mountain areas will be in the high 70s, and by the coast, temps will be in the mid-60s. The San Diego County Fair opens tomorrow. This year's theme is Let's Go Retro. The fair will be open Wednesday through Sunday. Ticket prices range from $13 to $25, and children under 5 are free every day, and kids 12 and younger can get in free on Fridays. The last day of the fair is July 7th. I always look forward to all those sounds and smells of the fair. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. Conflict on campus continues at UCSD. Although the academic workers' strike was stopped, education reporter MG Perez says protests have not.
A judge's order temporarily ended the academic workers' walkout on UC campuses, forcing 48,000 United Auto Workers Union members back to classrooms and research labs Monday. 8,000 of them at UC San Diego had been on strike, protesting the administration's decision to hold the diplomas of at least 7 seniors who were arrested during last month's dismantling of the Gaza Solidarity encampment near the Geisel Library. This is finals week, and graduation is on Saturday. Freshman Stephen Aguirre is conflicted.
I do know that it's been affecting like a lot of the classes with like whether or not students will get their finals graded.
The temporary restraining order will now keep the end-of-year activities on track. The UAW says it will end mediation talks with the UC and focus on its complaint filed with the California Public Employment Relations Board. MG Perez, KPBS News.
As the November election approaches, political rhetoric around immigration is getting more extreme. Border reporter Gustavo Solis says there is a long history of this in California.
This is an invasion of people not wanting to follow the rules for immigration.
That is State Assembly candidate Carl DeMaio in May telling a local news anchor that there's an invasion at the border. It's the talking point that Republicans across the country are using more and more as we head into the November election. Not only does DeMaio say there's an invasion, he also tells us what's behind it.
Because Democrats want the votes, they have no problem with a porous border.
Experts say this interview, without any pushback from the news anchor, is an example of why invasion rhetoric is so dangerous. Zachary Mueller is the senior research director at America's Voice, a pro-immigrant advocacy organization. He says invasion rhetoric is part of a white supremacy conspiracy theory in which
elite liberals are part of this cabal to bring in non-white immigrants to replace white folks, to replace their voting power, and to steal elections and undermine democracy. Now, obviously, none of that is true.
This kind of language ramped up in 2016, but it has a long history in California. In 1873, the San Francisco Chronicle published an advertisement warning of a Chinese invasion, asking readers, what are you going to do about it? Political cartoons from the 1880s show California as a sinking ship falling under the weight of too many Chinese migrants. Natalia Molina is a professor at UC San Diego. She studies the construct of race in the United States.
The use of the term invasion and just the general idea of it isn't anything new in terms of how we describe immigrants, how we frame immigration issues. It goes back as far back as, you know, the late 19th century.
Molina says anti-Chinese sentiment led to the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, essentially banning immigration from China. U.S. history is full of examples of anti-immigrant rhetoric leading to discriminatory laws. Molina uses this 1994 ad as an example. It's from California Governor Pete Wilson advocating for a measure that would strip benefits from undocumented immigrants.
They keep coming. 2 million illegal immigrants in California. The federal government won't stop them at the border.
Molina says that framing the problem as immigrants invading is counterproductive. It doesn't help find real solutions to the broken immigration system.
And so how you define a problem defines a solution. If you define it as an invasion, well, then it's a matter of, you know, putting up a wall and making America strong.
She says immigration is such a complex topic that oversimplifying it distracts policymakers from asking nuanced questions.
How do we encourage legal immigration? Is our system set up even for legal immigration? At what level do we want immigration? What are the processes?
In 2020, more than $50 million was spent on anti-immigrant campaign ads. That amount more than quadrupled in 2022. And now, the 2024 election is already on pace to surpass that amount, according to data from America's Voice. Mueller says that these ads pull on people's genuine concerns about immigration.
Because it is a story that hits on their anxieties about who they are and their identity, about safety and their community's safety. It hits on, you know, concerns about, you know, their economic security and pulling on those anxieties, which are legitimate anxieties, racializing them, saying immigrants are to blame for that.
Voters around the country should be expected to be bombarded with more invasion ads before the November election.
We can't rely on ads because the ads are designed to be inflammatory. The ads are designed to get your attention for 30 seconds.
Molina's advice? Do your own research.
We can't rely on a flyer or somebody who wants to win an election.
Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The city of San Diego wants to help local service members leaving the military find jobs with the city. They've hired a Navy chief to help. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer has more on the city's first veteran engagement coordinator.
Navy Reserve Chief John Osted works as an intelligence specialist in the reserves and has done so for 16 years. Now, in addition to those duties, he signed on to help the city connect with more veterans and service members. The new city job is partially funded by the Wounded Warrior Project, a nonprofit that assists and advocates for veterans. It's the organization's first local government-focused initiative in the country.
Their intention was to help create a position with a local government, which the city of San Diego is kind of like right in the right place, and this is the right time for this type of position to just help support veterans in the community.
Austin says he's hoping to use his Navy connections not just to help local service members and veterans, but also military spouses who often have difficulty maintaining careers while moving every few years. Wounded Warrior Project will help fund the job for 2 years, but the city says the position is here to stay. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
A new service offered by the North County Transit District will make commuting to work by train easier for some. Reporter Alexander Nguyen says it will benefit almost 60,000 workers from North County.
Commuting by train to work in Sorrento Valley has its challenges. On Monday, the North County Transit District unveiled a restored last-mile coastal connection service in Sorrento Valley.
This is one of the biggest economic hubs within San Diego.
San Diego Councilmember Kent Lee represents the City of San Diego on NCTD's board. The Sorrento Valley train station is in his district. It's the third most used coastal station, according to SANDAG.
What we have heard over time is that there are many employees that have used the coastal connection as a way to travel, considering that they get to skip a lot of the traffic on the 5. and really get connected to some of their working corridors here.
The San Diego Metropolitan Transit System used to offer the Coastal Connection service, but eliminated it last year due to budgetary constraints. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Seniors from Mountain Empire High School graduate tonight, but first they took time for a walk down memory lane. Education reporter MG Perez has more on their visit to where it all began for them.
He used to play like football and it was fun.
18-year-old Manix Gonzalez remembers his time at Campo Elementary all those years ago. He's now a senior about to graduate from Mountain Empire High School in Far East County. Members of his graduating class took a school bus trip to the campuses where they first learned to read and write.
Your whole life you've been trying to graduate, and now you're finally here, and now you're going back. I don't know, it's a trip.
A trip, Principal David Rio says, is valuable for the 116 graduates this year because it will inspire the younger students.
To show the kids who are at the elementary school, that's going to be me. That's going to be me when I get to high school. That's going to be me when I walk across the stage. That's what I'm going to look like.
The community celebrates the 2024 graduation Tuesday night at Red Hawk Stadium. MG Perez, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Tuesday.